Welcome to Coaching Conversations with Margo Myers. This podcast is produced by Shipley Coaching, where discovery inspires growth.
Hi, I'm Margo Myers, an executive and leadership coach, and I coach people on everything from leadership to communication and to career success. And if you're curious, coaching is all about maximizing your potential to achieve your goals. And if you've ever known what it is you want to achieve, and you don't have an exact plan to get there and stay committed to your goal, coaching may be for you or your organization. Now, to kick off 2020, we are talking success stories. So we can talk about how coaching has helped people be even more successful. And then I also want to talk about the importance of stopping and taking time to acknowledge our success. Coaching is really about creating awareness. How are we showing up? How do we respond in certain situations? How do we want to respond in certain situations? So it's really creating awareness. And then it's looking at if we want to change our response, if we want to change our behavior and do something different. And the reason that might be is because we want a different result. We want something different to happen. We want to get to a certain place, and what we're currently doing is not getting us the results that we want. And so that may be the time when somebody calls in a coach. So I thought I would share a couple of examples of client success stories, people that I've worked with in the past. And I'm very, very lucky. I work with amazing clients, and I'm going to change their names to protect their confidentiality. And I want to share a story about one woman who I worked with a couple of years ago. I'll call her Ashley. She was joining a new tech company at a lower level than really what her experience warranted. And she wanted some coaching to help her navigate the leap to a higher level. She didn't want to be paid at that lower level for long because she was doing the work from what people were being paid at a higher level. And really, she came in at a manager level, and in less than 3 years, she's now at a director level with the raises that come with that, the stock options that come with that. She has had the ability to put together her own team. And so when she came to me, it was really about, okay, how do I navigate this situation so that I can get what I feel I deserve and what I'm comfortable with and be compensated fairly at that level? And so we took a look at the situation, and the company that she works for, she's located in one city, but the company's headquarters are located in another city. So really, it was all about building a strategy to become visible, both within the company in her own city, and then also to build relationships and build visibility at the company headquarters. So we were very strategic about who she needed to build relationships with, what those people were looking for, what they needed from her and her team, and how they were going to be successful, how she was going to show up, what was her image. We found out that, you know, she dressed a lot more casually at her home company than she did when she went on the road. So how do you dress for the part that you want, not necessarily the part that you have? And how do you build those relationships in such a way that it's going to instill confidence? And again, share the successes that you are already having. Share the successes of your team, the people that you've already hired, so that you can prove that, yes, I am competent and I do have confidence in my team, and we are going to make this happen so that she can get the position, the role, and the salary that she wants. We came up with a plan to do that and worked for about 4 months, and she got her first promotion, and since then has gotten the subsequent promotion to director. I'm super proud of her because there were some confidence issues there initially, and we worked around building that confidence and then being able to successfully share those success stories that she was experiencing at the company. I want to share another story about another person that I worked with. We'll call her Lauren. She was part of a triad of leaders who led a company. And this was a family-owned business. And the owner, the CEO, stepped back in after removing a family member as the CEO. So there was a lot of drama and a lot of dysfunction. My client, we'll call her Lauren, she was positioning herself for a future role as CEO. And we did a lot of mental work and emotional work and were very strategic about, again, who to build relationships with, what parts of the business were struggling, how to improve those parts of the business so that when she was ready to take over, those parts would be strong, how to work with the other two leaders who were part of this triad of leaders running the company. And then in the end, she decided that the drama and the dysfunction was not worth it. It took several months of working through this, and she was leaving a lot of money on the table, but she made a very courageous decision to leave the company. It became clear that the CEO was not going to step down. She wanted the triad to buy her out so that she could get her money out of the company, and that just wasn't going to happen. So my client, we coached around, okay, how are we going to make this transition? How can you transition to becoming a CEO and essentially starting your own company? What are your strengths? What are the skills that you have that you can work with these clients and really help them expand their businesses? She's terrific at marketing and as well as identifying business processes that are working, business processes that are not working, and then identifying how to fix them and how to turn a profit in these companies. So she launched her own business and we coached for about 6 to 8 months around how she was going to do this, who she was going to serve, position herself with, what her marketing message was. And I'm happy to report that she became known as a change agent, a turnaround agent for these companies that were just past the startup phase. And now she's even working, teaching some of these business processes that she has identified as an adjunct university professor. And she's doing very well. And she has control over her time and does not have to deal with drama and dysfunction of this other company. And finally, I want to share a success story about another CEO. We'll call him Dan. And Dan was delivering a keynote address to his industry that his company served. And Dan, admittedly, is an introvert. He's an accountant, but he's also the CEO. And he wanted to deliver a keynote address that basically identified upcoming trends in his business industry. So we coached around how he was going to do that in a genuine and authentic manner and how he wanted to show up for these other business leaders. He decided through our conversation that he wanted to show up as not as somebody leading the way, but somebody who could partner with them to help show them the way and how they could really make a difference in their industry with these new trends that his company's research had identified. So we fine-tuned his message. We simplified the message. We turned it on its head. And it wasn't about all the things that were going wrong in their industry. It was really about, let's point out the positives and how you can do even better by working along these certain specific trends and how that's going to improve your business as well as your business reputation. We worked again for about 3 months to do this. And then when he went to deliver his keynote address, after he did so, I got an email and he said, "Margot, I just had 6 or 7 people come up to me and tell me this was the best speech that they had ever heard me deliver. Not the best speech they'd ever heard, but the best speech they'd ever heard this CEO deliver." And he was really excited because it went well. I said, "Great. So tell me, how was the ROI? What was your return on investment? Did you pick up any new business from this keynote address?" He goes, "Yeah, about $50 million. I'm like, $50 million? Wow, that is terrific. Then we did our job. And so that was a huge success, just to identify what's the right message that's going to resonate for his industry, and how can he show up authentically and genuine so that people are going to trust him and trust his company, that they're the right company to help their businesses lead into the new year. And so that was very rewarding for both of us, that he had such great success. And so those are a couple of success stories about how coaching can really help you identify, you know, geez, sometimes it's even figuring out what is my goal, and then what are some different ways to get there. And then once those ways have been identified, to help you strategize and develop a plan and help you follow that plan through to the end so that you can achieve the results and the outcome that you want. When you position yourself as a winner, you really open the door for more successes to come your way. I work with a lot of high achievers. These are C-suite level people. They are CEOs of major companies. And what I've found through my experiences, high achievers often reach a milestone and then they move right on to the next thing. They seldom stop and acknowledge that they've just reached this major milestone. In this podcast, what I want you to do is take a moment to reflect on your last 12 months. Take a look back at 2019. What were your major wins? Maybe both on a personal level and a career level. What did your company or your team accomplish? What did you personally accomplish? How did you grow? What were new skills that you picked up? What were major wins that you experienced along the way? And then give yourself some credit for that. Acknowledge what you accomplished. One of the things that I often do with my clients is we'll do a midterm report and we'll take a look at what's been accomplished in the previous 3 months or the previous 6 months, because what we do is we forget how much we've accomplished, and even small wins are important. Small wins build momentum. They help us move forward. And so it's really important to stop in the middle and say, "Okay, look, here's what we've done." And then I also like to do that again at the end of the coaching engagement. Have we reached the goal? Where are we? Did we have to change our plans? Did you get the result that you wanted or that you expected? Was there a surprise learning along the way? How is this changing your approach? How is this changing your business? And really take a look at what those wins are and how they're changing your life, how they're changing what you're doing moving forward. I love those reports because they really help people stop and acknowledge the progress that they're making, where maybe they just would have blown by them and thought, "You know, I should be doing that anyway. I'm a high achiever. This is just what I do. And I don't really stop and acknowledge my successes." Another reason that is important is it builds your confidence. And now, a lot of times the people I work with, they already have a great deal of confidence, but sometimes there is a lack of confidence around a skill or an ability that they are working to expand. They want to be better in some area. It helps build your confidence when you can take a look back and look at all these wins, because confidence is that feeling of self-assurance that arises from your appreciation of your own abilities or qualities. And what it does is it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy when you can really increase your confidence in an area where maybe you didn't have a lot of confidence before. Another thing that it can do for you is it can increase your motivation. It can be so easy to lose motivation or lose momentum. And that can eventually lead to burnout too, because when we don't stop and acknowledge those wins, we just feel like we're always chasing that next big thing. And sometimes those things, they just feel like success can never be attainable because we keep moving the goalposts. So you want to stop and really acknowledge, yes, I did reach that milestone or that key event, because it keeps you on track. It keeps you motivated. It keeps you engaged. You can avoid burnout through that. And the other thing that it does is it also makes you happier. The more we feel those positive emotions, you know, the more motivated we are to do that thing again. So emotions create habits. And when you complete your tiny habit, you want to reward yourself with an awesome, yeah, I did that. Good for me. To affirm to yourself that, yes, this is a behavior that you're proud of, because it does really take a lot of mental space and mental effort to change habits. Habits are what make up our personalities. They're default behaviors that we've found over the years that, you know, they've really worked for us. So they become success habits. And then we get to a certain point where maybe we find those habits that we've developed aren't working for us in the way they used to. And I do find this with a lot of high-level achievers, because they've gotten to a high level of success. And to get to that next level of success can be really difficult because they've had so much success to get themselves to this point. It's like Marshall Goldsmith in his book, "What Got You Here Won't Get You There." And so they have to look at themselves in a slightly different way. And that can be scary. It takes courage to admit, yeah, you know, I might have to change what I'm doing. Even though I've been very successful up to this point, I might have to change what I'm doing so that I can be even more successful or achieve this next goal that I've set for myself. The other thing that you can do is acknowledge the people along the way that have helped you reach your goals. We don't operate in a vacuum. There are people around us that help us get to where we are. They may be support people. They may be somebody who pointed out, you know, you would be really great in this position, even though you've never seen yourself in this role. And so you want to acknowledge those people around you that help you get to where you are. Another thing that acknowledging wins helps is you get more engaged teams. And a quick story about a team that I'm currently working with, they wanted to bring more fun to their work. They have a role that is critical to national security, to the national security of the U.S. They work with very tight deadlines and a lot of stress. And what they decided to do as a team was to celebrate when they reached those big milestones with a team event. And so in one case, they decided to hold a barbecue for like 200 people, everybody that had worked on their project. And then they also decided to recognize top workers every quarter and recognize them in front of their peers so that others see the great job that they're doing. And then maybe most importantly, every Friday at the team meeting, they recount their wins of the week. What they do is they recognize all the wins, all the small successes that are leading to these major wins. They have their wins of the week and they recognize them and really acknowledge what they're doing well. This really helps create more of a team atmosphere, and it keeps those team members engaged to avoid burnout. So to wrap it up, you know, life isn't going to be perfect. We make mistakes. Sometimes we fail. So when we do experience success, let's celebrate it. Let's acknowledge those wins, because it helps us create that forward momentum, that moving forward so that we can go on to reach the next goal that we've set for ourselves. And I know you can do that in 2020. I hope you'll join us for the next episode of Coaching Conversations with Margo Myers. And don't forget to check out the Shipley Coaching website at shipleycoaching.com. That's where you can find articles, you can find links to podcasts, and you can learn about our programs too, including our ACTP coaching course, as well as find out how to partner with us for our leadership engagement course. We're here to share discovery that inspires growth.